A science experiment gone terribly wrong. Here's what's coming up on the Nice Guys on Business.
I just think you can't reach that next level if you don't have that fear and you don't have something motivating you. It's sort of like, why would you leap if you didn't have to? So it's a sort of thing where, like, you can look down, you can be scared of it, but if there's not something chasing you, like, you're not going to leap. You're going to be like, it's safe up here. Whether it's real or not, I try to manufacture that motivation by fear. And there's that, you know, there's the question of, you know, are you more motivated by winning or more motivated by losing? I'm more motivated by the idea of losing than I am by the idea of winning. Winning to me is like, it's a moving target, whereas loss is something very tangible to me.
What are we going to do today? Same thing we do every day, Pinky. Try to take over the world. Oh, and listen to the Nice Guys on Business podcast, of course.
Need an education on how to grow your business? The Nice Guys are here to help. Learn about great customer service, networking, and how just being nice can help you prosper. Now, here are your hosts, Doug Sandler and Strickland Bonner.
Hey, Nice Guy community, welcome back. It is Wednesday, middle of the week, it is hump day, and my name is Strickland Bonner. On the other side of the microphone, Mr. Doug Sandler.
Can you imagine somebody that, thank you, thanks, Drake, it's good to be here yet another episode. Can you imagine someone being actually as big a nerd as you and I?
Oh, God, that would be hard.
It's not really hard.
I'd feel sorry for him.
Today's guest, Jeff Gibbard, he is just that juicy a nerd as we are.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and he's a podcaster, too, so he totally, all about nerdism.
I love that. If you go to his website, which is jeffgibbard.com, yeah. The opener says, strategist, keynote speaker, content producing machine, and suspected superpowered masked vigilante.
Oh, wait, what's that? The masked vigilante?
And suspected superpowered masked vigilante. Yes.
If you had a superpower, Strick, you know, it's one of those questions that I probably could ask on the podcast, but it seems like such a cliche question to ask. But
yeah,
if you did have a superpower, what would it be?
My superpower would be the ability to see things the way other people can see them. Now, that's a little different from like mind reading, right? There's mind reading where it's like, I can tell what you're thinking, but I want to be able to see something from someone else's perspective. Like
I would be.
Visually and mentally. And it's like, okay, how are you perceiving this thing or this person or this situation? I think that would be amazing.
Can you imagine being able to do that? You would be the master at relationship building, but it would also mean you're the master at manipulation too.
You know, do you use it for good or do you use it for evil?
Well, I think that you would probably use it for good, but if you have that power, it means that probably there's the ability for other people to have that power too. And so people might use that as a way to like overthrow government. I mean, you think about the implications of somebody that actually has the power to perceive something the way somebody else is. Does that mean that you could do it in mass so that if you're on a television show, you could see what all of the people are thinking in the audience? But that wouldn't even, everybody's got different opinions though, but could you
manipulate
their...
I would think that that would be much less invasive and much less opportunity to misuse it than like being able to read your mind, right? Like if I'm talking to some diplomatic leader of a country and I can read their mind and in their mind it says, oh, I'm getting ready to attack Russia. Like I could go to Russia and tell them exactly what's going to happen. I mean, whereas if I say something to somebody, like I say to you, hey, Doug, you know what? You're a real asshole. Right? Like, if I could get into your mind, I'm hoping that your perception of that, because of our relationship, that your perception would be, oh, yeah, he's just goofing. Well,
yeah.
But I might hear, oh, shit, why is he doing that? Why is he calling me an asshole? And then I might know, oh, man, he's having a bad day, or he misinterpreted that. He didn't take that in the way I meant it to be said. And then you can correct. That's the way I would see it.
And then I would think, what would be the ultimate position that you would have in order to really use that to your advantage? So the common person might use that just on an everyday basis just to help build small relationships. But it's the grand thinker that uses that for a higher power and works that into something. What would it be? What position would you have to be in order to make that happen?
with great power comes great responsibility. And on that note, I think we have an interview with Jeff Gibbard today. And while he appreciates the geeky conversation, if he really is like uber geek like we are, we do need to get to the interview at some point.
Okay, well, we'll get to the interview. He's got some great tools, tips, and tricks that he shares with the audience, with the Nice Guy community.
Well, according to LinkedIn, Jeff is the world's most handsome social media and content marketing strategist. I'm wondering where on LinkedIn somebody else gives you that moniker, because what I know of LinkedIn, you give yourself monikers, not somebody else gives them to you. So I'm wondering if, according to LinkedIn, Jeff says, I call myself the world's most handsome social media and content marketing strategist.
No, I think that's pretty much a self-titled, self-enabled title or something like that.
I love that.
If you look on Overcast, Jeff's podcast called Shareable is actually neck and neck with us in the business category. It's Tim Ferriss is first, The Nice Guys on Business number two. As of the day of this recording, Shareable starring Jeff Gibbard is number three. So,
and he's part of the C-Suite Network.
Yeah. He's a part of the C-Suite Network also.
You know, Doug, I'm going to be really upset if he gets to number two and we get to number three.
You know, how long can you hold the number two position? You know, are we moving to number one or are we...
McMahon held the number two position with Johnny Carson for a long time.
That's very, very true. Paul Schaefer with David Letterman, the same thing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Gumby
Robin with Batman. I mean, did Robin ever say, hey, I need to be Batman now? Not that I know of.
No, I'm pretty sure that Tonto never said to the Lone Ranger, it's my turn to be Kemosabe. How about that one? Come on, that was a good one.
That was a good one.
Could you give any other ones? Like Lurch did not want to be Gomez. Mm-hmm. Gilligan did not want to be Skipper.
Oh, God, no. Gilligan definitely didn't want to be the Skipper.
Uh-huh. That's right. Alice was in no way going to be Mr. Brady at any point.
Well, you know, if she had a sex change operation, maybe. You never know.
That is very true. Well, speaking of which, do you think that Chastity Boner was ever going to be Sunny? No, maybe. I mean, maybe the same sex, but never the same person.
Okay, now this is definitely the part of the show where I try to steer you back to Jeff Gibbard, who is our... Because you're just going to a really weird place now.
Okay, should we just get to the interview? Did we beg for Patreon yet? Did we do that?
Patreon.com/niceguys. I don't know if we did or not, but please help support the show. For as little as $2 a month, you can really help us out. It means a lot to us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, people don't even know that. They don't even know the bonus content. They don't understand the, oh yeah, we did. We did talk about the change and all that other stuff. We talked about all that stuff. Bonus content. Yeah, we did. I think we
did. Okay, if you say so.
This is what happens when you record 17 episodes in one day, Nice Guy Community. You don't know the love that Strickland and I have for you.
True.
Very true. All right, let's get to our interview. Yeah, let's get to it. Jeff Gibbard, Shareable is the name of his podcast. The Nice Guys on Business podcast is proud to be affiliated with the C-Suite Radio Network. Let's get it.
Beautiful, dirty, dirty, rich, dirty, dirty, beautiful, dirty, rich.
You know, it's only every once in a while. It's rare that we're actually going to find someone so close to absolute nerd as myself. So I had to put in some Lady Gaga music because I think only the nerds really like Lady Gaga anymore. But if someone comes close, aside from Strickland, it's Jeff Gibbard. When not scouring the internet for companionship, or guests for his podcast called Shareable, Jeff can be found training clients in the how-tos of digital marketing so organizations can find their true voice, Jeff, is that right? He's a good friend of the Nice Guy community. Welcome, Jeff Gibbard.
Thank you for having me, Doug. I feel so lucky to be on the Nice Guys podcast because I am a nice guy.
You totally are a nice guy. And ever since the moment I met you, which was, 20 minutes ago?
It might have been about 20 minutes ago, give or take a week or two.
No. And I'm loving your show, Jeff. Shareable. What's the concept? Let's talk about that because Nice Guy Community, Jeff has a podcast also. It's called Shareable. He does a whole bunch of other stuff, but we're going to spend a moment talking about that Shareable concept. So, Jeff, talk to the Nice Guy Community just about Shareable.
Yeah, absolutely. Nice Guy Community, I would love for you to check out my show. Obviously, if you could only listen to one podcast, it's going to be the Nice Guys podcast. But if you have room in your schedule for two, you're going to listen to Shareable because...
Wise.
Yeah, right. It's shameless plug for your own show. So Why I started Shareable was because I saw an opportunity to talk about something that impacts literally everybody on the planet. And that is that every single one of us, regardless of our industry, our job title, our career path, whatever, has been impacted in some way by two factors. And those two factors are universal. That it's people and it's technology. And they have impacted our lives and impacted our careers. And virtually no one is safe from these two forces in our lives. And I wanted to really explore that by talking to brilliant people. I mean, my first guest was incredible. Like, like you wouldn't even believe, just shook the house with how great he was.
Yeah, Nice Guy Community, if you want to hear an inside angle, not that you don't know the real me, but if you really want to hear the real me, because did we talk about divorce on your show?
We did a bit. I don't know if we were recording during that time, but I know in the follow-up half episode, the Now You Do Me segment, we talked a bit about that. You asked me a question because I ran into my ex-wife last night and told her that I gave her a shout-out on the show.
Oh, no. So. And your ex-wife, that's never a good thing to tell her that.
We have a good friendship. So it's not terrible. But yeah, so the show is really a deep dive into those two concepts. And then, as you know, we do a secondary segment, which I think is a lot of fun, and I've never really heard it elsewhere. But we have this segment called Now You Do Me, where we turn it around and we make the guest the host and I become the guest. And what it really does is create this fascinating dynamic where whatever you as the guest bring in as your expertise or your interests in turning it around, whether the guest is a podcast host or not, it gives them the opportunity to really play that role of interviewer and pick my brain about things. And it lets my audience get to know me a little bit better from a bunch of different angles.
I always say, wouldn't life be so wonderful if it wasn't for people and technology? I mean, it kind of is the reality of how we are all. We're dealing with these relationships in our life, and we're dealing with technology, which has a way of completely fucking up everything that's happening. Because you know, nothing you can do is anonymous. Everything that you do is now online somewhere, and good, bad, indifferent, whatever it is, it's like holy shit. Is there anything that you can do that is not going to be posted? And especially if you have either a 30-something in your life or even younger, you know, having a teenager in your life, as my kids just got out of their teens and my son is 20 and my daughter is 23. Everything they do, their emotions, everything is online. And it's such a transparent world that we live in. So share the complications of Shareable also, because what could you get into? You can get in some deep shit on that show.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, we've so far, I think, recorded 4 or 5 episodes, and most of it has been very positive about the impact of technology. And same thing about people. It's been a lot of really positive conversations about mentors and about how technology facilitates brand new things in your life that never could have been before possible. But really, what I think is going to be interesting is when we start to get into those dark places and we start looking at the people that did something negative in your life, but that inspired you to become bigger and better, et cetera. And in the same way, technology, you look at technology, it's disruptive. And to be disruptive, we often as nerds look at that and say, yeah, disruption, we're getting rid of the status quo. But we don't see that on the other side, disruption causes something to break, something that was there that had, you know, I mean, cars disrupted horses, telephones disrupted the telegraph, email disrupted the post office. Everything is that is a new technology.
Kim Kardashian disrupted Lady Gaga.
She actually broke the internet from what I read. I don't know. Seems to still be working.
How great would it be able to be so that your show actually breaks the internet because of so many fucking downloads, man?
That would be so good. I'm right now we're in, you know, we just launched the beginning of this week. We launched with 4 episodes. We've got a bunch in the queue. I've got like 4 interviews I'm doing today. So we're like really hitting this thing hard, and I'm super excited about the traction it's gotten so far. It already has more reviews than my first podcast, the True Voice Media podcast. So I'm excited about that. I think in terms of average views, we've already blown past. And, you know, of course, it could just be the initial hit. But I'm hoping that this sustains and carries, because I think we've really got something in our format.
No, man, I think it's great. I listened to the episode, not because I was the first guest on your show, but because I like your concept. You know, I really like the behind the scenes stuff. I like that Caroline has what's her official position with your
– So her official position, she came in as an intern. I got her as a free intern, which was – just awesome. And I just liked having her around so much that I brought her on as my social media coordinator. So she works alongside of Jesse on my team. And they work together to get a lot of the work done. But I have a routine kind of question that I ask anybody that works with me. It's kind of, what's your passion? What are you interested in? Where do you want to go with your career? How can I help you grow? And she was like, I love podcasts. I'm just really into podcasts. And you know, we have a podcast that we're still running aside from that. And so I kind of turned her loose. And that's actually how you and I got in touch in the first place, is I gave her my wish list. And on that was Jeffrey Hazlett. And she, in like 2 days into her assignment, reached out to Jeffrey Hazlett. And Jeffrey was like, yeah, I'll come on your show. And I like what you guys are doing. Here, meet Doug. And that's how this whole thing
happened. Yeah. The handoff happened. Sometimes the, what is it called? Inspiration comes from the most unlikeliest of sources.
Yeah. But it was cool. She like went after it gung ho. And just the guest lineup that we got in the first week or two of her doing this is like, it's far surpassed anything I was doing on my own. So I'm thrilled to have her on the team.
And I'm happy to connect you guys with any of the guests that have been on our show. And if you use my name as a mention, I'm sure that's going to hurt you. So I would just tell you, just anonymously send them emails. Probably the best.
I'm
going to
go subversive on the whole situation. I'm not going to mention you.
So Jeff, let me go beyond the podcast for a second, because you actually have been blogging and podcasting in general. You've been doing that since like the mid 2000s, like 2008, way before it was cool. And I mean, only when true nerds did it, right? I mean, so what was your original plan with all of that? Was it just to get your brand out to the world, or what was it?
I wish that I had some like really grand scheme that I could point to. And I was like, I knew that it would, I got nothing like that. I basically started blogging, kind of how I start doing everything. It's how I started doing the podcast. I started video blogging. I just like to tinker with things to figure out how they work so that I can explain it to other people. So I'm perfectly comfortable making all of my own mistakes and breaking things so that I can then go back and instruct my clients how not to break things. So when I started blogging in 2008, it was really about me wanting to figure out this whole blogging thing that people were doing. And I like writing. I felt a need to express myself, and I am opinionated about a fair number of topics, but specifically as it related
to you have opinions.
I mean, go figure.
Just in our social media conversations alone, I don't know. Do you know Phil or Gerbyshack? Do you know Phil?
No, I don't.
No, I got to connect you guys, because the three of us, we're gonna have this little love triangle. It's gonna be amazing on social. It's gonna, you're gonna really like Phil.
Awesome.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to get off track there. Anyway,
yeah. So I basically felt I needed a place to express myself, and I started blogging there, and then I started experimenting with another type of blog, which was more of an online journal, I guess I would call it. So I had my first blog was Social Media Philanthropy, and it was the tagline was generously donating our ideas and opinions. So it was a different take on philanthropy. It was donating ideas and opinions. Which was really commentary about social media. But then I started my Day in the Life blog when I had started working at a PR firm. And I was just kind of talking about the things that I was doing on a day-to-day basis and what I was learning, kind of documenting the process, which, again, back then there was no thought leaders like Gary Vaynerchuk that were saying, right, you know, don't create, document. I just was doing that. So I was, I guess, a little bit ahead of the curve. But that's how I kind of got into it.
So was that his whole don't create? What was that? Don't create.
Don't
document.
Create. Document. I mean, I might be paraphrasing.
No. When you said that just kind of stopped me in my tracks, because that is, it's so true in today's world. It really is all about just document what you do. My dad always used to tell me, get so good at something. It's at one thing. I mean, don't try to do everything. Be so good at something that people will want to pay you to teach them how to do that. And I fucking never have done that yet, but I'm about to any day now. I know I'm going to introduce something I do well to the public, and they're going to want to buy it. But isn't it the reality of it? Don't create, document, and people will pave a way to want to buy what you have.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the challenge of it is that whenever you're good at something, I think we have a natural tendency as human beings to discount that because we're good at it. So we don't give it the due value, where someone else sees it and they think it's incredible. I had a buddy of mine who used to, I'm a Mac user. I've been a Mac user since I think like 2001. So
hold
I've really.
Second. Hold on a second. Hold on. Okay. Just want to make sure Strickland heard that. That's the bell.
Is that to notify of Mac users? Is
yeah,
like
Mac
versus
users.
PC thing?
Yeah, he's a Mac hater. So.
Oh, well, that's messed up. We're going to have to, me and him are going to probably have to have a boxing match or something. But I've been a Mac user since like 2001, and I've kind of gone through all the different iterations of the OS. And now there's this whole thing where you can like move Windows around. It's like very Minority Report when using the touchpad. And a buddy of mine was just watching me use two different screens and moving Windows around. And he's like, I could just sit here and watch you move windows around and work all day. He's like, it's fascinating to watch you throw. And to me, I'm like, that's just how I do things. So yeah, I think, the don't create document thing is a challenge because you generally look at the things you do and think, it's normal.
All right, so I want to chat for a second about this this common problem that we all see out there in the world, especially the entrepreneurial world. It's called failure. And I want to quote something, and Nice Guy Community, just so you know, when I send out a request for a guest to be on the show, I send a little Q&A just so I kind of have an idea of the things that they want to talk about. I'm hoping that from that Q&A, Jeff, I didn't lead you down a path of this is the stuff we have to talk about. It's more of this is what I think, would this be important to you? And one of the quotes that you have on that Q&A is, within the last 12 months, I rescued my company from the brink of total collapse. So, okay, brink of total collapse, that sounds pretty epic. So can you share just that failure or potential failure story and how you came back?
Yeah.
Is that too sensitive to talk about?
No. I've written extensively about this. I actually wrote in my Day in the Life blog, I shared this entire story. And it's funny because from the outside, people will look at any business. Again, it's sort of thing where if to the third grader, the fourth grader is a genius. So some people I know that are entrepreneurs that are struggling see what I do and they think, oh my God, he's got it all figured out and this and that. But as we all know, as an entrepreneur, like you never have it all figured out. I had a client that was a 27-year entrepreneur and he shared with me that every January 1st, he wakes up and wonders, is this the year I go out of business? So so I don't think it ever stops, but basically what happened was is that we had a very large client in 2014, and the run of that project came to an end. So we had it was a pretty substantial project, and I went to kind of aggressively backfill that, and I filled that client's revenue with two clients, had those going into 2015, and in February of 2015. Or 2016, I'm sorry. In February of 2016, I got my dates wrong there, but in February 2016, I went to a conference in Vegas. I was going to speak at a conference, and the night before I was about to speak, I get an email from one of those clients that says, cancel our contract.
Oh dear.
And I wrote back. I was like, okay, I'm not quite sure what's going on here. And I looked at our task list and all the things that we were supposed to be doing, and we were right on track with the scope of work. We literally did everything that we said we were going to do. We were in communication with them. We were, you know, we were going through all the things we were supposed to do, and it got really hostile and really just awful between me and this client, which I never like to have happen, but sometimes it happens. And I came back, and basically it turned out he was like, I'm not going to pay any of my invoices. So we were out something like, you know, a little over $5,000. I was on the hook to pay for some of the services rendered. I, you know, worked with some subcontractors and vendors. I was on the hook for
that. So it wasn't like, hey, we're canceling moving forward. It was like, hey, remember all that shit you did for me in the last 90 days? Well, I'm not paying for that either.
Yeah. So okay. It was about an $8,000 or $9,000 swing, which, you know, in the scheme of life is not the worst thing in the world. You know, I could have survived through that, but I just didn't want to keep digging into that hole. So as soon as I got back from Vegas, I actually had already planned to go on my first vacation with my girlfriend, and I was, you know, supposed to be super excited, but now I'm wondering, oh my God, is my company going under? So while I was away, I basically cleared my head. We sat on the beach and I kind of thought about what I was going to do. And essentially when I came back, I said, I have 30 days to rescue my company. I put it on my calendar 30 days out from the day I got back. I put on my calendar an all-day event that said, is today the end? And
how negative?
Well, to me, it wasn't really negative. So I've written a lot about willpower and about goal achievement, things like that. And to me, you know, you have to set a line in the sand that says there is no other option. So when I quit smoking, it was, well, I just don't smoke anymore. And that was that.
Right.
So my way of dealing with this situation is I'm either going to do this all in and succeed at it, or I am going to close down and I'm going to go and get a six-figure job instead of working for myself, which to me is losing. So I did that, and in 8 weeks, we booked 9 clients, and last year we had our best year ever by a factor of, you know, something like 20%.
So do you think that that part of the solution to that problem was just digging your heels in and just saying, okay, we just have to figure this shit out? I mean, oftentimes I think that people are in their safety zone when let's say we got somebody that's listening to this right now and they're in a job and they got their side hustle going on. They're like, hey, I can't figure out exactly how to make this thing work. It's doing okay. I'm making a few bucks at it, but you know, I got the safety net of my job, so it's not that big a deal. And I think that the problem is that that's the problem. It's not that I want somebody to bail and jump
because that's really a hard thing to do. But you have to set a line in the sand that says, I'm either going to shit or get off the pot at this particular point in the future. Maybe that's 90 days, 120 days, maybe it's a year from now. But isn't that, for me, I look at that as that's part of the biggest problem that's out there. There's too much of a safety net that people rely on to before they start moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you can't reach that next level if you don't have that fear and you don't have something motivating you. It's sort of like, why would you jump? Why would you leap if you didn't have to, you know? Yeah. So it's a sort of thing where like you can look down, you can be scared of it, but if there's not something chasing you, like you're not going to leap. You're going to be like, it's safe up here. So, you know, I kind of manufacture that. Whether it's real or not, I try to manufacture that motivation by fear. And there's that, you know, there's the question of, you know, are you more motivated by winning or more motivated by losing? And to me, I just refuse to lose. Like that is, I'm more motivated by the idea of losing than I am by the idea of winning. Winning to me is like, it's a moving target, whereas loss is something very tangible to me.
Very permanent, man. It hurts a lot too.
Yeah.
Hey, I want to have you think quickly on your feet for a moment. I'm going to ask you three things here, and I want you to try your best to think of what these three things would be in your life so that we can actually have some action points for some people in the Nice Guy community to get started and they can act right now. So I'm going to ask you for a tool, a tip, and a trick that might work in your life, and we can take them in any order that you possibly want, or things that come to the, you know, a tool could be something that you find on the internet that has worked well for you, or an app. A tip could be just, hey, this is just some advice that I've gotten from somebody that seems to work well for me. And a trick is kind of like a hack. It's almost it's almost like tricking yourself into one of the things I wrote about in a blog was saving money. Here was an easy way to save $5,000 for a rainy day. So can you share with the Nice Guy community a tool, a tip, and a trick?
Yeah. So if I'm thinking just on my feet, the first, there are two tools that come to my mind, I guess tips that are related to that. And the trick I'm going to have to think about for a second. But the first tool that immediately comes to my mind because it's indispensable in my life is Evernote. I use Evernote to remember everything. And if you're anything like me and you have a mild to severe case of attention deficit disorder, it's really helpful to capture all of those thoughts and all of those inspirations, content ideas, just remembering where you parked. To me, Evernote is an essential tool in my toolkit that allows me to make sure that I never forget anything. And it's searchable, which is great because then I can just dump everything in there and I can look through it. So
that's tool, great. I love that as a tool.
Evernote
okay.
is huge. Tip, for me, I use, I'm a big tech guy, so I probably am going to focus more on tech here, but a tip that I use is, again, it's in that same sort of making sure that you capture ideas because ideas are so fleeting, and tasks, because one of the things that I've always been challenged by is I have a lot of big ideas, but then those need to get put into an action plan and get done. So I've looked for the fastest possible ways to get tasks and to-dos into a list. So I use Asana as my project management software, and I use a tool called If This Then That. And I guess this would be the trick. I'm going to call this the trick.
Wait, is it called a Boolean? What is that? Boolean? Boolean?
No.
Yeah, Boolean.
It's
if then else.
If This Then That is a trigger action tool. So basically, okay. If this happens, then that needs to happen. So if I like something on Facebook, then tweet a photo of a dinosaur. So you could come up with all these different recipes.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So what I use is there's an If This Then That where there's an application that If This Then That has called Do Note, and it allows you to just take a quick note and you hit a button and it'll execute an action. So, and I can actually send you a full guide of how to do this, but it's an app that sits on your phone where essentially I take a quick note and hit a button and it automatically emails that to an Asana task list. So I get ideas out of my head like that. And I can even talk to my phone to do that. So
that is perfect.
It's kind of complex, but once you get it on your phone, it is game changer.
I love the idea because I use this thing called, what the hell is it called? Oh, Aquanotes. Mine is called Aquanotes. Actually, the best ideas I have actually come up in my shower.
So, me too. What is that?
It's called Aqua. I don't know. It's like your downtime. It's like, hey, you're washing your hair. You're a little relaxed. The hot water feels good. And it's like, hey, you know, just everybody's, your brain actually just expands, I guess. So I have this waterproof paper and pencil called Aquanote. And I write down, like today I wrote down a podcast idea. Teach companies how to build podcasts as a way to market their business. Use that, sell that as a business.
I mean, like, this is a good idea. So Strick and I get on the phone. We start texting back and forth to each other. And like, we're going to think of some plans in order to put this into action after we do the other 17,000 things that we swore that we were going
to
do.
So, okay, hold on. I just need to add to that real quick because I had a thought in the shower like a day or two ago that I called Caroline up like as soon as I got out to tell her about. Yeah. I thought of an idea for a podcast called The Other Side. And essentially, it's a podcast where all you do is interview podcasters.
See, that could work. You know, imagine how great the audience would be for those podcasts. You know, our listening audience is great. They don't necessarily have an audience of their own, but podcasters all have an audience of their own and they want to promote their show.
Exactly. I thought of it as like an amplifier.
Very interesting. Interesting concept. All right. So I'm going to put your feet to the fire now. Do you have any tricks? I mean, you can pass on any of these. You know, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow people. This is the first time I've done this because I write a blog called Tools, Tips, and Tricks. And so for me, instead of me putting my ideas in the blog, I'm thinking about I'm going to highlight and spotlight a person that that I actually interviewed on the show. And that way I won't have to come up with my own material. How great is that?
That's a brilliant idea. I actually do have a trick. I'll give you a real quick one. This one will be a simple one.
All right, go ahead.
People always have a hell of a time trying to create content. So they're always like, I don't have time to blog this and that. So
what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I got two real quick ones. One, if you're looking to do a blog post, you could probably talk about what you're doing better than you can actually write it. So pick a topic, record the audio, and then use Fiverr.com to transcribe it. That's the first one. The second one, and then you just got to clean it up. The second one is hire a copywriter and have them call you on your commute into work every day and have them ask you questions about a particular thing you're doing.
It's going
to be more expensive, but I'm just saying it's the more expensive version of the same hack, which is you don't have time, use idle time and create content talking about a thing you know about.
But I do love the Fiverr because that can't be very expensive. What was that? That probably is less than $20, right?
Yeah, it's like I think you can get 10 minutes of audio transcribed for $5.
Ah, geez, that's like perfect. And 10 minutes of audio transcription, that's probably somewhere between 500 and 1,000 words at least. And that's more than your typical blog.
Huh. Yep. There you go.
Very interesting. I like it. Okay. I want to move on to our rapid fire Q&A here. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. I'm going to stand back and let you do your thing as you answer them. Spend just 5 to 10 seconds answering each one. Here we go. Jeff, be relatable. What do you suck at?
Delegation.
Oh, good. That's a good one. That's really tough for an entrepreneur. We all want to do it on our own.
Yeah, I'm getting better, but I'm still tough.
Be transparent. How did you pay your bills when you first got going?
I hustled. I got a job waiting tables for a little bit. I took small consulting gigs. I basically tried to find money wherever I could find it. When I was a waiter, I used to just have in my head at all times, I'd say, get money, get money, get money, get money. So it was all about like, how do you just keep it going?
You see, your trick is you talk to yourself. It's self-talk. That's good. That's good. Be confident. What do you do as an entrepreneur that's as good as it gets?
I think that I'm competitive because I play with a chip on my shoulder. So as a result, I think I dig deeper to try and find the win. So when I'm, I don't just collect a check to do a thing. I try to figure out, no matter whether a client is paying me, $1,000 a month or $16,000 a month, I'm trying to make sure that they win. And it's because I want to prove to everybody that they were wrong about me. And I don't even know who these people are that were thinking I wouldn't
it's
do it.
It's the fictitious people that are out there.
Yeah. It's Tom Brady syndrome.
Very, very motivating. Right. Be humble. What experts do you need to call upon to make shit happen when shit's just not going down the right way, Jeff?
I generally need people to help me look at my business as a business rather than as a passion. And I have an agency coach that I've been meeting with. And just looking at my business through his eyes was a fascinating experience and helped me to really think about how we're spending our time, how we're charging for what we do. And ultimately, I think it'll make us more profitable while still, as long as we keep our integrity, which I'm committed to, we'll be profitable and we'll be doing great work.
All right, here we go. As a business owner and an entrepreneur, put these into priority order as best you can. I'm going to give you 4 words. Your job is to put these into priority order. Here come the 4 words. Employees, customers, products, systems.
Employees, systems, customers, products.
All right. And you put employees first for a reason. Why?
Your employees are the only thing you've got. If you don't have somebody to delegate to, then it's all on you. And I guess you then are responsible for it happening. So your team is the only thing that's going to allow you to get anything done for any client at all anyway. The systems are the way that you make sure that you're doing it properly. And as a strategist, obviously, I'm going to believe very much in systems and processes, but the systems and the processes are what allow you to do it right, to get better at it, and to scale. The customer obviously comes next, because without customers, what do you have? There's nobody paying you. So you need the employees and the systems to be able to do it right, and then you need the customers. But if you get the customers and you don't have the employees or systems, and then you're kind of shit out of luck. Just by default, again, I guess products and services come last, because I think you'll figure that part out if you have good employees, right, good systems, and good customers.
No, I love that. All right, if you had to pick a song title that represented your entire life, what would it be?
Yeah, this is a really hard question, because there's like several sides of me. Oh God, it would probably be like Uptown Funk.
Really? You think so?
Well, just because that's the vibe that I think I exude as a human.
It wouldn't be Toto's Africa.
Although I do love this. I did feel the rains down in Africa.
So why do you pick Uptown Funk? Is it just because it's a snappy song?
Yeah, like I feel like that's what I feel like my internal song probably sounds like. It's like that, yeah. Or it's like Justin Timberlake's that new song they just put out. Can't Stop the Feeling. It's all song like Pharrell's Happy. Like that's like my internal song. Like if you were to like open me up and there was a speaker in me, it would probably be like that kind of a vibe. I just walked into my office this morning and the front desk person was like, I love when you walk in, you're always smiling. So yeah, I think that's pretty much where it would probably be one of those sort of songs. But I do have some like cocky songs that I would probably answer as well. It depends on my mood.
No, I like Uptown Funk. We'll stick with that one.
Very cool.
Jeff, if our listeners want to get in hold of you to take advantage of your services, talk to you a little bit more about what you do, to hire you to come and be a consultant, to come out and speak, any of those things, or to listen to your podcast, how can they reach out to you directly?
Yes, so many different things. One, definitely subscribe to the podcast, sharablepodcast.com. It's got links to all the different places where you can subscribe, iTunes, et cetera, subscribe, review, all that stuff, please. JeffGibbard.com is where you can learn about me. It has links to how you can get in touch with me about public speaking, of which I am freaking awesome.
he really is. I really am.
It also has links to a bunch of the different blogs and things that I write about. So my day in the life blog being my favorite, jgibbard.com. And then if you're looking for the best damn social business consultants in the United States, look no further than truevoicemedia.com, where you can learn all about what we do and hire us to do amazing things.
Oh, awesome. Nice guy community. Make sure that you get in touch with Jeff. We'll make sure we put all of his information in our show notes and his, there's going to be a pretty picture of his face up on the cover art. So you'll see he's the guy that looks a little like Tom Selleck in the picture.
Amazing. Oh, and then Twitters. Meet me on the Twitters. That's where I like to hang out with people.
That's where we all kind of hang out. You know, we really have to have like a, what is that called? The tweet chat or something? I don't know what I would have as a tweet chat with all of my buddies that are on Twitter, but we've got to come up with this collective something that we're doing.
I think we should all get drunk and go on Twitter and talk about something random, like like who would win in a fight between Darth Vader and all the Care Bears.
Wait, hold on. Jeff, I get drunk and I podcast every day. That's what I
You're
that's
drunk
what I'm
too?
Drunk right now, man. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for being on the show and for sharing your story, and I'm looking forward to seeing where this relationship takes us and all the fun stuff that we're going to do together is going to take us as well, brother.
Absolutely. Nice guys unite.
Hey, that's true. Nice guy community, never underestimate the power of nice. Again, special thanks to Jeff for being on the show. All of his information in the show notes. Steve O'Brien, go ahead and take us out of here.
The Nice Guys on Business are professional podcasters. Please do not try this at home. It may seem simple, kids, but lots of people get hurt in the process. Void where prohibited, including Mexico, Puerto Rico, Fredonia, or your in-laws. The Nice Guys on Business are not responsible for any claims of liability or any guarantee that these two morons know what they're talking about. There is no promise that being nice to people will help your business, but calling people assholes, dumb, incontinent fuckwads will definitely lose you business. For any and all claims, shit in one hand and wish in the other, and see which one fills up first. Thank you for listening to the Nice Guys on Business podcast. I'm Steve O'Brien.